This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
We were about to begin day two of the Blackpool Maxi Convention. This is, Blackpool Max. This is really an amazing convention. So many things to do, hard to make choices of what you want to miss because every one of the things are just top-notch and great. Same thing with the dealers, trying to get around to everybody. I mean, I don't know how you can spend money at every place, although you should, because everybody has so many cool things. And one of the people I've got with me right now is one of the dealers and someone who is not just a longtime friend, but someone who inspired me, goes back to the days of my inspiration of starting this whole podcast thing together. Let me just shut up and introduce David Kaye. Silly Billy. Hey, David.
Hey, Scott. This is my voice on day two, the beginning of day two.
At the morning, You and I are staying at the same hotel over here at the Belvedere.
But, I found the air to be very dry, and my voice is sound. I talked all day because I was behind my booth.
Right.
But
Was it bad?
No, it wasn't bad.
Well, we're on the beach, so you got the humidity coming in.
Yeah, not in the building.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know. Yeah. But I'm excited. It's funny because I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready, it's a three-day convention, and each day feels completely different from the other, especially in the dealer room, because the first day, people are like, you've got two things happening. People are looking, and then they're saying, I'll think about it. And you also have people who say, I better get it now because it might not be here on Sunday.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Saturday is like a real great day. Everyone's just active and stuff. But then Sunday, the personality changes again and people are frantic. They're running around to the dealer room with their list of the things they've chosen. Boom, boom, boom. They also start trying to negotiate the price because, because the convention is like 2 hours away from ending. And you have all this stuff with you, and you don't live in England.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it? Maybe they think the dealers will give them a better deal.
Than shipping it back.
Yeah, then shipping it back. So
never thought about that.
Yeah. So every day has a very different feel in the dealer room.
Well, you've just given a lot of people some tips right there.
Go ahead. Tip away. Absolutely. If you really want a tip, I would say, at least for myself, I am susceptible to someone saying, hey, could you cut the price? You don't want to bring it home. And I will do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring it home.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good, very good point. And by being behind the booth, unfortunately, you don't get really to participate or see any of the other activities.
Yeah. This is the only convention that I take a booth in.
Did you have Magic Live? No?
No.
Okay.
No. Because there's 4,000 people here, and that's a lot of people. It just, as a dealer, that's insane, certainly compared to what's happening at many of the U.S. conventions where they're down to 400 or 300 or 200. I don't know how anyone, except maybe Mark Mason, can make money on a 200-person convention.
Right.
But, yeah, you got a lot of people here. So it's not just for money, but also it's good for business. I see my friends, I see my customers, I see my fans, they come up, they take pictures. It's a whole lot of stuff because there's so many people. It's a vibrant dealer room.
Do you get a chance to, in the evening, see the gala show?
Yeah, that's the one thing I do get to see is the evening shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so speaking of the shows, what did you think of the gala last night? I haven't talked with anybody about all of that. Did you like it?
Yeah.
I mean, there were opposite of the gala. The gala was repeated. So there was an earlier one and then a later one. And opposite that, Cody Fisher and then the other show, I believe, was
Ben Seidman.
Oh, Ben, I'm sorry, Ben Seidman. And then
Cody
also.
Fisher. And then
the third one was the one I saw that was with Kleck Ektos and Dan Sperry.
Yeah. But, well, they see, this is one of the, like you just said, there's three shows simultaneously, and you only get to see one.
Yeah.
And
they're all solid acts.
And I saw Ben's show, Ben Seidman.
Tell me about that, because I saw Kleck and Dan.
Well, this was my fourth time seeing Ben's show in the last two-ish years, and I cannot get enough of it.
Yeah.
He is, I really believe he's one of the great magicians. He doesn't come across as an all-powerful, his character is not, I'm an all-powerful being, I can do miracles, just watch and your heads will explode. But he does do that. I mean, the tricks are, he got three standing ovations in the last 3 minutes of the show. Because everything was coming together, you know, and all the parts are climaxing. And boom, 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 people wouldn't sit down. He goes, sit down, sit down. That's not the end of the show. I've got more, I've got more. And it deserves that. He did miracles, really miracles.
Well, I've only seen him once recently, and that was at Magic Live, in which he did the one-man show. It was fantastic. And that's why I thought, okay, well, it's hard to choose. Cody is from Austin, whom I can see. Well, I say I can see him regularly. I've been trying to get together, but he's been working cruise ships and every place outside of Austin, so I've not really been able to get together with him very often here. But I haven't ever seen Kleck Ektos's show, so I really wanted to see that.
Yeah, I don't...
Yeah, a lot hard to choose.
It's hard to choose, but they make you choose. Mm-hmm. Which I just don't, I wish, you know, on the one hand, oh my God, there's so many wonderful things. But on the other hand, yeah, but I'm paying money and I'm missing it. So,
but they couldn't fit everybody in anyhow. Because, and I think part of the beauty of what they're doing here is by choosing that way, it keeps the rooms from being overly full in SRO, because when you go in, they're probably about half full, which is not a bad thing in this.
Yeah, I understand that. But... Well, you know, the guys that play Magic Live, they do their shows six times. The close-up show, six times at least. I don't know the total. But I think they should do these things a couple of more times. Mm-hmm. Like FISM. FISM's lectures, like four or five. They appear on your schedule four or five times.
Yeah.
So you look around and you pick your favorites, and then you end up being able to see everything that you need to see.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
It's a Blackpool thing. You either love it or hate it. It's not going to change.
That's a good way to put it. It's a Blackpool thing. Yeah, that's true. Thing. I'm going to close it out here, but I just wanted to mention when we were I was introducing you and saying that we had worked with Dodd Vickers actually back on the Magic Newswire way back when, and that was when we first were doing a podcast on Sunday evenings, and that was so much fun. And then basically that Dodd had kicked me out of the nest and said, hey, if you want to do your own podcast, because he didn't want his podcast to be the one of convention reports. And I, because I kept submitting reports to him because I was going to all these conventions, he said, why don't you do your own? I said, I think I know how to do it by now. So that's what kind of initiated the whole thing. But working with you and talking to all the guys that we did on those Sunday evenings, it was fun.
Well, to be fair, it was a group of people, right? Yeah. Like four or five or six of us.
Chase Goforth and Cameron Ramsey and you and I.
Yeah, and Vic and Dodd.
And Dodd.
So unlike your podcast, there is something fun about
the dynamic.
The five of us making each other laugh.
Completely different personalities.
Yeah, whole different.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, different perspectives, which is a very different thing than what you're doing. They're both great, but I enjoyed that part. Yeah, just the hanging out. You forget you're on a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, you're just making your friends laugh instead.
Right, right. That's what I like about it. I've thought about that before, about if this were to have myself and somebody else or other people, or like that was from before, but the hard part obviously is getting someone else to be on the same schedule as yours, So,
Scott, there is no one else in the world who will go to every magic convention there is, talk for a day, and then spend the night editing. So you're the man.
thank you. So give a quick pitch. What's new? What have you got at your booth that people should come by and see?
Well, by the time they hear this,
tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning. Okay. I have my newest trick. I brought to Blackpool last year, but I only brought it to Blackpool. I haven't shown anyone else. It's back here again, and it's what I call a comedy mismade, torn and restored kid show trick. Mm-hmm. So it's it's unlike a lot of other things. So it's not, I can't just say, well, it's a hippity-hop rabbit, but they're dogs. It's not what it is. It's a brand new idea. But basically, it's a no-skill, torn and restored picture. You tear and restore four times. And every time you fix the picture, it's fixed, but then there's a new problem. And then you have to solve that problem by tearing it up and saying the magic words and then seeing what you get.
Yeah.
And and they're all very funny little phases. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm calling the trick I'm a Dog, but I'm looking for a better title.
Okay.
It's at my booth or at my stand, as they say in England, and on my website, sillymagic.com.
Very good. Thank you, David.
All right, Scott. Have fun.
Good luck. I've been having fun so far, and this is going to be another great day. So stay tuned for the rest of this episode. That was David Kay. This is Scotty Al. We are really moving this day along. I've already gone to a couple of lectures, and they were both really good. Just came from Blake Voigt's lecture. I don't buy much of anything, but there was something that was an opener for him, that an envelope opener that I had to have. I've seen him lecture on this before. It's one of those things I've thought about, and after I saw it again, I thought, okay, yeah, I got to have it. And that's one of the great things about this also, that there are a lot of the people we have seen lecture before, and now we're seeing them again. And it's like, okay, I'm now seeing something different in a different light than whenever I saw it before. I'm here with my mate from the Magic Circle and from London and from the Fector's Finger Flicking Frolic. He's a regular and great entertainer. In fact, I did an episode focused just on him many years ago. Here he is, Daryl Rose. Hey, Daryl, how are you, man?
Scott. Yeah, really good. Thank you. I'm slightly tired, but it's all good.
I am too.
Exactly. But that's what Blackpool's all about, lack of sleep.
That's true.
Yeah.
I was watching Jonathan Goodwin's lecture, first of all, and man, it was interesting. And I've got so many questions and things that we'll talk about at a later time now, but sure, with you about this. But I noticed some people were starting to fall asleep there as well. Not that he was boring, but it was like one of the early lectures this morning, and everybody's trying to get to see everything.
Sure.
You just can't. And you start sitting there for a while, and before long, you start nodding off.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jonathan Goodwin is one of the most inspiring lectures you will ever see.
It really was.
His story is immense. His positive attitude to life is incredible. And he's just a very clever guy. I mean, I don't, tipping methods of some of his great illusions that he does. It's just incredible. And the meticulous way that he works with all daredevil stunts, that the meticulous way to make sure that everything is perfect and everything looks as most so that everything looks natural yet scary.
and that was one of the things I thought was interesting, that I hope to get a chance to talk with him more in depth, and that's about his philosophy on that, about things that do look scary, but you know the person is going to be getting out of it. So what kind of danger is there when you know that 100% they're going to get out? In one case, he didn't, obviously, but...
Absolutely, but again, that was no fault of his, you know,
yeah.
And as he explains... It was just a series. It wasn't just one thing. That was the sad thing about it. It just wasn't the one thing that caused the accident. It was multiple errors, not by him in any which way. And
For those who are listening, by the way, and don't know, Jonathan Goodwin is an escape artist and traveled with the Illusionist for a long time. In fact, I did an episode with him with the Illusionist just before COVID started. So going back into March of 2020, and you can hear that when he was still doing well and it was after America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent and everything then too. But the particular thing that happened, there were two cars that were suspended. He was in the middle in a straitjacket and a burning rope. And long story short, he didn't escape in time. The two cars crashed together with him in the middle and broke nearly every bone in his body and third degree burns, et cetera, et cetera. But now he's in a wheelchair and such a great and positive attitude that he's got. It's amazing.
Sure. And he's the most amazing director. So he's staying in magic. He's written the most amazing book.
Yeah.
And of course, he's now directing. He directed Darren's show in Unbelievable, which was in London last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's directing lots of other shows, and Magic Consultancy as well.
Yeah.
So he's a great mind, great brain. And definitely get his book if you can.
brand new book, Methods to My Madness. And then I saw Blake Voigt, and we were about to go in to see David Stone. And I mentioned earlier about how the lectures, most of them are not full because they're competing. I mean, they're one against another. And so that way, in the past, there have only been, let's say, 45 performers and lectures. Now we've got 75. So you've got more to choose between. You got to go one or the other. In the case right now, as you're saying, it's like standing room only for David Stone's lecture.
And there's 900 people in there. So, you know.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, but some of the star lecturers, they are actually having to lecture it twice. So Michael Amar's on straight after David Stone, and then Michael Amar's on again tomorrow. So overall, over the day, he'll be up 1,800 people get to see Michael Amar.
Yeah. So who did you see that you liked here as far as
Ben Simon's show was amazing. I just saw Cody Fisher this morning, and that was also fantastic. But I have I'm going to be controversial here. Okay,
be honest.
So Cody Fisher's promotional material shows a picture of him, and when Cody Fisher came on, I was looking at him thinking, "That's not your picture." Oh, well, maybe it was 10 years ago.
And it's one of my pet peeves.
And it is. And I just think, Cody, you could do better than that. You still look good. Get some new promotional material. Get a new picture. And so that it's not a big shock when you don't look like your promotional picture.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And, you know, great lecture. You can tell that he's been performing for many, 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 many years. Ultimate pro. And I absolutely loved it.
A few years ago, when I was working the Magic Castle, they publish a program in which they show the pictures of everybody, as you know. Yep. And they must have pulled something off the web that was me even before a beard, and I was dyeing my hair. And so when I'm sure I walked into the room, they're thinking, "Who is this guy that looks like Santa Claus? It's nothing like the picture."
Yeah.
And that wasn't the one that I sent them. And so I think it's important to have an updated promo photo. That's good advice for anybody. And perhaps in my case, I should have taken some of those photos off of my site, so that way people accidentally don't publish that or post it whenever you're going to be doing a corporate event or something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this day and age, everyone's got a camera. Everyone's got,
you
know, with millions of pixels. And you know, I'm sure there's photographers on cruise ships. And you know, you could just ask someone to just quickly take a quick snap of you know, and send it to you. And that could be your new picture. So, yeah, there's no excuse these days for that.
So I was telling you about something that I bought. What have you purchased from the dealers, or something you think is like the hot item?
Well, I haven't bought too much. I mean, Jonathan Levitt's Nexus system is pretty incredible, which is complementary to the Stranger. That's, you know, and that's for serious electronic-y type.
Yep, next level up
magic.
From the Stranger.
It is the next level up from the Stranger, and it's amazing. It's totally hands-off. The phone doesn't even come into play, and you can do some absolute miracles. And then Thomas Bader from Budapest, Hungarian magician, he only ever brings one trick a year.
Really?
So a couple of years ago, he introduced Drop to the magic world, which took the market by storm. And just off the whim, I don't buy too much these days because, of course, you know, I haven't been doing it for many, many years.
Yeah, began an act.
He demmed his new trick called Lumino, I believe. And it just blew my mind. And I just threw the money on the table and says, "Give it to me." And it was one of those, wow, absolutely wow. And the effect was shuffled the cards. He asked me to pick a card. Got returned to the deck. He asked me to shuffle the deck. I shuffled the deck. I riffled. I overhand shuffled. He took the deck back. And then without looking, he didn't even look down once. He was basically going red card, black card. And he was doing basically an oil water without even looking.
Like he was feeling a sense of touch.
Well, possibly. Yeah, absolutely. A sixth sense that he had. And, you know, every so often you say, "This is a red one." And turned out, yeah, it is a red one, and put it on the red pile. And then turned over the cards, and yeah, there were all the reds, and then turned over all the blacks. But in the middle of the black cards was my card that I'd just chosen. Very clever. Very, very clever and very baffling. And yeah, it's different, refreshing. But, you know, there's so much electronic stuff out there now, and there's you know,
I like organic things.
They
won't break visible thread won't break, or batteries won't,
you know,
die.
And going back to Mark Poole the other day, he did a, you know, mentalism lecture, and it's just billets, billets, and there's nothing you can't replicate, billets and peaks. And again, what a wonderful natural performer Mark Poole is. So, you know, we're only halfway through the Saturday now, and there's still lots to come.
I wanted to ask about the gala last night. I really haven't had anybody yet who had seen that to talk about that.
The Gala Show.
The Gala Show
last
evening.
Oh, wasn't it good?
The first gentleman, I can't remember his name. Italy. Well, we should look.
Yeah,
it up,
from Italy. The manipulator was incredible.
Standing ovation,
and well deserved. Absolutely stunning routine, changing white cards into black cards, suspending balls in midair, suspending cards in midair. It was just beautiful. And, you know, you've got to give credit to the two Russes and their team here. You know, the lighting and the sound in that auditorium of 3,500 people is absolutely amazing.
Is that
Francesco della Bimo, I think it is. Francesco. He was definitely Italian. It's Francesco.
Yeah.
Francesco della
Fina.
Fina. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, amazing.
Della Bona.
Della Bona. There we go. Of course.
Yeah, make the picture larger here.
Yeah, no,
for those old guys.
And then we had Don Chambers from Australia, who I don't know about. So I'm looking forward to seeing his lecture, and his one man show, I think, is tonight. So
yeah, his one man show, a boy and his deck of cards or something like that. Yeah. I think was what was running in Australia. I had done an episode with him some years ago too. Tim Ellis said, "You got to talk to this guy."
I wonder if he was influenced by Brad Manuel, who's also Australian, because Brad Manuel kept producing his famous act was producing drinks from shoes.
Oh,
so I'm sure he must have been heavily influenced by Brad. Maybe he knows him. Maybe he's in the same town.
It's hosted by Max Fulham.
Oh, who? Yeah, I mean, he's just going from strength to strength. You know, I've known Max many years as a little kid, and he's still a little kid, but amazing bent act. It'd be interesting to know what happened to Artem Shinkin, because obviously he was on the bill and he didn't appear. So
no
idea why he didn't manage to make it, which is a bit sad, because looking forward to seeing him. But then we had Enzo Wayne, the illusionist
from France,
and again, very nice act. I'm sure he was here a couple of years ago, where he did one of the same effects with the Dakota chair. But again, super, super smart.
And another standing ovation.
Standing ovation. So all in all, it was a good show. I mean, again, the thing about Blackpool now is that you get the right variety and don't have it too long. So they got it right.
Yeah, well, as you say, though, that today we're in the second day. We're actually just about reaching the halfway mark, I guess, for the Blackpool Convention here.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun. And then trying to get over into the Ruskin to have a beer, of course, that seems to be a challenge of itself, because how do you get 4,000 magicians into one place? But I do recognize what people had warned me about, and I really hadn't thought too much about until this year, and that is the smell.
The body odor.
Exactly. My goodness.
Well, you go to the magicians, you know, the Blackpool Magicians Club Facebook group, and people are saying, please make sure you bring your deodorant. Please make sure that you have a shower.
I don't know. Some people must not read that.
No, exactly. But again, if your listeners are listening to this over the weekend and they are coming back via London, anyone that's been to the BMC this weekend, more than welcome to come to the Magic Circle. On Monday, just behind Euston Station. So it's perfect, because most of the trains go into the Euston. And we're open from 12 o'clock. So for free teas and coffees until 3 p.m. So if you're coming down and you want a few hours at the Magic Circle on Monday, and you're still listening to this pre the end of the show, then come on down.
And is there going to be a lecture on Monday?
Yeah, we do. We have Hanson Chen on Monday, 7:30. So he'll be footing it down. Hanson Chen, yeah.
I don't know him.
Oh, he's here.
Oh,
he's
dealing.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. He's
is he local? I mean, he's English, or
No. He's from abroad, but he'll be doing his lecture. So come along and see. That's at 7:30. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And I want to compliment you before we leave here, then also on everything that you've been doing with the Circle, as far as getting them up to speed and to the, I guess, the 21st century here with online and everything that you've been able to do, because I feel like I'm more of a member, that I could attend these things from wherever I am, even not just at home or in my living room and by watching this online on my computer or my iPad or whatever, but also if I'm even on holiday someplace, I could still tune in and watch. And so in real time, or watch it at a later time. It's just one of the benefits of being a member of the Magic Circle, and you had, I know, spearheaded that along with a great team, but it's been, I want to thank you. It's been great.
Oh, that's an absolute pleasure. And as you say, streaming is the key to keeping membership. And, you know, we've grown our membership. We're about 1,700 members worldwide now. And that's purely off the fact that, as you say, every single week there's a lecture or a show or a demonstration, mainly lectures. Yeah. And we record them all, and you can go back in our archive like over 40 years. So if you want to see Ellie Bongo doing his, you know, Sheikh of Araby Act from 1982, it's there.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyone interested in joining the Magic Circle, you can audition, you can live abroad. You don't have to live in the UK. Just send in your audition tape, which is an unedited sort of 10 minutes of you performing, to see whether you have the credentials to be a member of the Magic Circle.
Check it out. And that's the Magic, what's the website?
It's themagiccircle.co.uk, themagiccircle.co.uk. And yeah, download your membership form.
There you go, Daryl. Thanks very much. Always a pleasure to see you. And until next time, here we will talk with some of the few other people here this afternoon. And we're going to go check out another lecture here shortly. That was Daryl Rose. This is Scotty out. Before we go much further, I do want to talk with another friend of mine from the U.S. The last one was from the U.K., so going from the States to the Kingdom, or from the Kingdom to the States, I want to chat with my buddy who, well, we'll get into this a little bit right shortly, Howard Blackwell. Hey there, Howard.
Hey, hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on. This is going to be fun.
Yes, indeed. I was about to say that for a long time that you were the guy who had developed and taken over the Fakini balls in manufacturing. And
I did. Dave Chandler and I, we tried to buy Fakini. Mm-hmm. And his sons just wasn't willing to sell, but I knew how to make the Fakini products. And we started a company called TruSlight. We did it for a couple of years during the pandemic. But to be honest with you, as soon as the pandemic stopped, I just couldn't keep up. Mm-hmm. I couldn't keep up with demand because it's literally pouring silicone balls all the time.
Wow.
And it's letting them dry and then doing the post-production, if you will, on that.
So it's a business for somebody that you could sell it to, I guess.
It is. It is. It's a really good, viable business if you want those handmade, really good silicone products.
Balls, yeah,
absolutely. The problem with silicone balls right now is really good silicone's expensive. Mm-hmm. And you'll see a lot of them, especially that come from Asia, they're using the bottom barrel silicone. So you don't get it's a little slick, a little oily. You have the petroleum base. So you feel that, especially when your hands are sweating.
Yeah.
So to get an old grippy ball like Fakini, you've got to use really good silicone. So I actually worked with a polymer expert. It was really random. I reached out to a friend of mine who was a surgeon, and I heard Fakini balls were made out of surgical grade silicone. He laughed and said, there's no such thing. And we kind of chuckled a little bit. And he said, let me put you in contact. There's a polymer friend of mine. And I reached out to the guy and I talked to him. It turns out he was one of the leading foremost polymer experts in the U.S. He worked at MIT.
Okay.
So I was a little taken back, yeah. But I explained what I wanted a little bit, and I explained what I was looking for. Told him about the grip, and he was really interested. And he said, "I know what product you're looking. I know the product." Mm-hmm. And he sent it to me, and the silicone's amazing. And that's what we used for our products. So we made the silicone balls, the shells. I 3D printed the interior of the shells, and mm-hmm. we poured the exterior. It was a great product, but I just couldn't keep up with demand, to be honest with you.
And right. Were you shipping, I guess, worldwide?
Yeah, we were. And that just, it took on a life of its own, and it's a full-time job. And, you know, performing and...
With everything else you got in your life.
Yeah. Like kids and teenagers and life going on. And, you know, people want their products immediately.
Well, you've got a theater also.
I do.
Out in Charleston.
Holy City Magic. And just, you know, I was literally working 6 days a week doing magic. And then when I would get home, I'd start pouring silicone balls. And then I've got this huge bucket that I've got to do a little post-production. You've got to clean up and all of that stuff.
Oh, was David helping you with that too?
No, David did David Chandler, he did the holders and things like that. He lived in New England. I lived in Charleston. So it was a great business that we had. It was just difficult to keep up with.
Yeah.
But I dove into the world of manipulation balls, and I got probably deeper than about anybody, to be honest with you. A lot of history. And just trying to find the right product.
So those, again, you who are listening might think, hey, I'm looking for something to get into. contact Howard.
Absolutely. So. I'll tell you all you need to know about some silicone balls and things like that, you know, and you just hear funny stories. I was dealing with some of the old Fachini, you know, his sons, Frank Radke's sons. And, you know, when I was talking to them, they were kind of explaining how some of the market works and how some of the Asian companies right now, they would buy like 50 boxes of Fachini before they shut them down.
Yeah.
They would just dissect and try to learn the product and things like that. And, you know, and you can feel them. I literally walk through the tables here at Blackpool, touching the balls just to see what I could.
And are they anything like?
No, there's nothing on the market right now that matches what Fachini had, to be honest with you.
Well, speaking of Blackpool, how have you been enjoying it? Do you come every year? Or I was going to say, I think I ran into you here last year too.
Yeah, I try to. This is my vacation. Okay. This is my vacation every year. So I've been, this is about my fifth year. I absolutely love it. We bring a big group of guys from the States. So I'm kind of the party planner of the group. So
tour guide.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So spent a lot of time in the military and I've traveled around Europe pretty extensively and even the UK. So yeah, I'm always the tour guide. So last year we had 10 or 12 of us, the same thing this year. And it's the gaggle. We can't get anything done. Trying to go to dinner is impossible. Just things like that. But
right.
But we have the best time. So right after this, we're heading into London. We have our own show in London's West End. So I'm excited about that.
Own show. What do you mean? What are you going to see?
So no, we're performing. So okay. We're performing in the Phoenix Arts Club in the West End in London. It's about a 200-seat cabaret club. They reached out, and I was all about it. So we put together a really cool show called Culture Shock. It's me, Gogo Cuerva, and Connor Breen. And we previewed it in Charleston at a 1,000-seat theater. We sold it out, had a blast right before we got here. And so it's going to be a fun show. So we're really looking forward to it. And
well, people who are listening to this who might live in London, are, of course, this is going to be posted tomorrow.
Okay.
So they should probably go and get tickets there.
Absolutely. It's February 20th in London's West End. Just go to Phoenix Arts Club on their website. Tickets are for sale. We're hearing tickets are going pretty quickly. So mm-hmm. We're dropping our flyers off all over Blackpool. Of course, you know, it's shameless self-promotion.
Have you seen some lectures or shows or something that particularly this year, again, having this being your fifth year that you've seen now, that's like, wow, this just knocked me out?
Yeah, you know, I have. I love the shows, but I love hanging out in the dealer room more than about anything else. Mm-hmm. I love walking around, talking to my friends, and seeing what will fool me. And, you know, some of the things, Henry Harris's booth, he's got some great new products that I don't get fried much. But going around to the booth, he got me good yesterday. And I kind of chuckled and said called him in some nice little names. And he chuckled and said, "You're not the first that's called me that today." So
did you end up buying something?
I did. And this year I said, I'm just not going to buy anything big. I'll buy a couple toys here and there, but I lied. I completely lied, and I do that every year.
Yeah,
and yeah, I can't help it. But it's so fun. I love coming to Blackpool. It's the experience. It's the camaraderie. True. I love hanging out with my buddies that I don't get to see all the time,
right.
And it's like old friends. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it is a lot of fun. And I assume that you guys all stay like in one of the nearby hotels. I mean, not on the beach, but just kind of just a block or two away by the Ruskin, or you stay at the Ruskin?
I always stay at the Ruskin. Okay. Some of my buddies, they were a little more budget conscious this year, so they stayed at some of the smaller hotels. Mm-hmm. Kind of chuckled last night. One of their hotels, they turned off the heat. It was
okay.
So not a great time.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I said. So I stayed in the Ruskin. So when I'm done at the end of the night, I just walk upstairs.
Yeah. That's nice.
And I'm lazy that way.
Well, and so the end of the night usually goes on quite late. When is this last call there at Ruskin? I mean, is it like in the U.S. at 2 a.m.?
I think last call's probably about breakfast time.
That's honestly what I thought.
Yeah, honestly, about breakfast. I went to bed last night. I went to bed about 2 last night, and I'm too old for this. I can't hang anymore, Scott.
You get to be my age.
I know.
I know. It's tough. I was there until 12:30, I think, or 1.
Yeah. And it was still hopping. It was still hopping. So I was hanging out. We were just doing magic, talking business and, you know, shooting the breeze, and just nothing sacred. So we were just destroying each other last night. It was so funny.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And, there you go. A great testimonial about why you guys should come to Blackpool, but also why you should come to the Phoenix Theater and check out their show on Monday.
Thursday, next week, the 20th of February.
Yeah. There you go. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Howard Blackwell. Oh, and don't forget to contact him. If you want a new business model and you want to go a different direction, take your business and there's an alternate stream of revenue. There's a full-time job for you right now.
Absolutely. I know a guy.
Yeah, I know a guy. Howard Blackwell right there. Scotty out. We are in the dealer's area. Just finished a lecture with Paul Stone talking about the Siegfried and Roy, because the room with Michael Amar was completely full, following the completely full one with Paul Stone. Lectures have just been really great. The dealer's rooms have been good. And so I'm down here then with Alakazam, with Peter Nardi. How you doing, Peter?
Oh, great. Tired. But,
tired.
But yeah, tired, but good. It's been so good, so busy.
You've been coming for year after year. I mean, this is like
24 years, yeah, something like that.
Now, yeah, they have more people here, about the same number of dealers. So how have things changed? And how is this different perhaps this year, let's say, even last year?
It feels a bit bigger. I tell you what, after lockdown, there was a big change.
I'll bet there was.
There was a big change, but for the better. I think the first year after lockdown, I think before lockdown, the energy around the convention for me felt a little bit strange. It just didn't feel like there was as much excitement. Then lockdown hit. The year directly after lockdown was quite hard because it was still, you know, people couldn't get out. But then last year and this year and the year before, the energy here and the hype and the excitement, yeah, by everyone walking about has changed. And for me, and I know I'm getting older, but it's, you know, when we say it felt like the good old days. It really does. Everyone's, yeah, walking around. Everyone's excited to see everything. And there's so much going on. The guys that are running the convention, I don't know how they do it. The names they're booking and everything else. It's phenomenal. There's nothing like the Blackpool Convention.
There really isn't. If people haven't come to this, you really should. It's something to experience. And once you'll want to come back then again, because you can't see it all. Or do everything.
No, there's really nothing like it. And it's for us, it's great because we get to showcase new products. But the biggest part is we get to meet customers. We've got a lot of American customers that come to Blackpool and come to see us and, you know, say hello. And it's great to put faces to the names because we speak to them on email.
And it's...
That for us is the big part of a magic convention.
Well, they probably want to see the live demos also, because you can, of course, watch them online and see that. But there's nothing like coming in and answering questions, saying, well, what if you put your hands this way? You know,
that's it.
I didn't understand that. It wasn't clear on the video or something.
Yeah, 100%. And the fact is, at Blackpool, we always showcase some effects that are not out yet not officially out. Okay. So we had.
You've introduced something usually.
Yeah, we had seven here today. But they won't be available on our website for another few months. So people that have come here have got a chance to grab them before anyone else. But then it gives us a chance to really showcase them. And we get to do them, 300 times over the weekend. So by the time we finish, we know them inside out.
Right.
It's great. Yeah.
So what has been the bestseller or something new then here this year that people are going to be listening to this, if they're coming just for tomorrow and you're coming the one day to come by there, that Alakazam's here on the first floor. So what is it that is hot?
Flicks, which is a new trick by Nicholas Pavresis, we sold out of. Pierce, which everyone is talking about, it's sort of a Russian roulette with pins.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds weird, but it's absolutely fantastic.
I saw the gentleman doing it down there, demo. He's got like 15 people around him right now watching that.
Yeah, it's great. We almost sold out, but we had another small amount sent up yesterday. So we've got about 10 or 15 left, and then they're going to be gone. But all the new stuff, I'm glad to say, has been really well received. But we've got tons of our classic items here as well, like Sharpie Through card, the Grail card, any number, the Assassin. Mm-hmm. So if people are interested, pop by, say hello, see some of our stuff. It'll be great.
Do you find that magic is changing? This is a little bit interesting, different question.
Yeah.
Magic that you are selling
is tending to be more organic as opposed to being, you know, the colorful boxes and kinds of things that used to be, you know, like of yesterday or, you know, Mac Magic kind of things.
Yeah.
But you find that people are buying and enjoying doing something that's like they happen to have in their pockets or something they pick up, and more, it appears more improvisational.
I think there's obviously a market for that, and we look for that, not with everything we release, because we're very classic. I mean, we'll release a lot of card tricks, and like I said, the pins, we've got coin tricks. And all right, pins and coin tricks, you could say are more organic and EDC.
It is, yeah, I think so.
But we still look at, for us, we look at workers, just working material. So we don't care whether it's a card trick, whether it's something with Scrabble or whatever. As long as the effect's good,
yeah,
that's all we're interested in. But the younger people do tend to like stuff that they can put in their pockets. But I think there's still a market for everything. Maybe not the big boxes as much anymore, because most people that are getting into Magic,
that's
especially nowadays, yeah, a lot of people got into Magic off the back of Blaine. So, you know, it's close up.
Right.
There's still a market for the bigger boxes and the children's Magic. But the majority of dealers here are all selling close up.
Yeah. Well, of course, if you're going to be talking about children's Magic, that's a little bit more colorful and boxy and all that, I guess.
Yeah.
But as far as like what you specialize in is really, I'd say, for the close up street entertainer, the pocket performer, the strolling magician, the corporate guy.
Yeah, we've got a few stand-up routines. We're getting more into stand-up now as well. So we've got some nice sort of parlor, smaller stage routines. But yeah, primarily, Alexander was always known in the olden days for mentalism. You know, go back 20 years.
Right. Oh, you got your logo. You got the picture of the guy with
and that's been our logo for, you know, since we started. So, and that was the thing. We were always into mentalism. Then we got more into Magic. And now we're doing more Magic than mentalism, really. We're, as a company, it's been exciting. My son's joined us and he's got fresh eyes on everything. So,
that's
you
nice.
Know, he's picking out things that I would have maybe not turned down, but wouldn't have caught my attention. And he's saying, no, Dad, that's really good.
It's interesting that he has joined you. Now, did he kind of go his own direction and then finally decided, hey, this is not bad, Dad, I'm going to come and help? Or has he always been kind of a helper?
No, he left school and he wanted to be, he's actually a trained personal trainer. Mm-hmm. But while he was taking his course, we said, well, you're not going to sit at home, you're going to come in and work. So he came in and worked, and then he fell in love with it. But what he really fell in love with was the business and the customers.
Yeah.
He loves speaking to people. He loves speaking to our customers on the phone. He loves speaking over email. He loves speaking in the shop. He loves coming to conventions.
Coming here,
if you watch him work the crowd here, you know,
I've often wondered about that, about people who are involved with, I don't care what your profession is, that the children don't necessarily follow, particularly if you are an entrepreneur or you own your own business or something. The children decide, well, I'm going to go my own way. As you said, they want to be a personal trainer. They want to, you know, go and be a barista at Starbucks or whatever it happens to be, you know, rather than my dad's a magician. But it really didn't interest me because I grew up with it, got tired of it. But at some point, they kind of circle back as they mature and saying, you know, that really wasn't so bad. Yeah, I want to help out.
Yeah.
Do that. You know?
Well, he had no real interest in it. He wasn't going to join the business. He had no real interest in magic. I'd done magic, but he didn't really care. He knew a card trick or two.
Yeah.
But then he fell in love with it. Now he's in love with the magic. He picks up things really quickly. His knowledge of magic has grown. But more than that, he's a people person. And when you're at conventions, when you're selling magic, when you're on social media, which is a big thing now,
right.
You need that personality, and he's got it, which is great. You can't buy that.
Being behind the booth, one last question, I'll let you go.
Yeah.
Because we're at your booth, and I don't want to take up more of your time over here when the customers are waiting.
That's okay.
And that is, you've got so many things to see and do, but you're behind the booth. Do you get to see the evening gala shows?
No.
Or do you pretty much, after the day, you're ready to go back to the room and put your feet up?
Yeah, we wish we could, but by the time we finish here, we literally don't eat all day. So we don't have lunch or anything. We have breakfast, we come in, we probably have one cup of coffee at the stand. By the time it hits half past five, we're back to the hotel, changed, out for a meal. And then we go back to the hotel and get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Because
I know it's the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it's, and I'm not saying this as a moan at all, but I know it seems like it's only 8 hours, but 8 hours of standing them in and everything. It's quite tiring. It's fun. It is fun. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
Do you wear special orthopedic shoes or anything?
No, I should do that. If I wear shoes, like, you know, proper dress shoes, my back will be gone.
Yeah.
You've got to wear something comfortable.
You know, there are those mats also that chefs will stand on all day long when they're cooking and everything.
Yeah.
You got to think about having that and rolling those out back behind your booth, it will just take a world off your feet.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Because you're standing up. Yep. Standing up all day, but it's great fun, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
And this is a great fun. It's a great convention. I'm having a great time, and it's a little bit of a right now a lull in the audience. I mean, in the people. So, and then I walk around a little bit more here. Peter, good to see you as well.
It's been lovely to see you again.
Okay, good cheer. See you. So, the Magic Word Podcast. Do that with Peter Nardi. Yes. Scotty out. Well, I mentioned earlier that we were at the Jonathan Goodwin's lecture. There were some amazing things that he was talking about, and I've got him with me right now. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. It's so good to see you now.
So lovely to see you.
And we were just talking about the podcast episode we had done, and yep. I recommend for people to go back and listen to that. That was pre-COVID, and that was...
It was pre a lot of things.
Pre a lot of things. That's true. That's true. That's true. Yeah. You had an amazing thing you were talking about, and this is something we can almost do a whole nother episode on.
Yeah.
But I have just one question that will open up some others, and that is when people go on stage, and I'm talking about an audience volunteer, to do a guillotine, why would they do that if they think they are seriously putting themselves into jeopardy where there might be personal bodily harm, let alone dying, you know, having their head chopped off? Do they seriously believe they're going to be doing that? Or has the magician already set up the audience and trained them so that way that they don't think that there's going to be any danger? Because, look, I've already pierced this box with my assistants and, you know, I cut them in half and they're back together. So you should be okay. I know it's a comedy thing, and that's just one example. But what are your thoughts about, you know, what do you think the audience, audience thinks?
I think if you're presenting it as a comedy bit, then I think that, you know, that there is an understanding that, you know, you're an expert and they trust you. And you know, from what I was doing, you know, I'm in doing escapes and danger stuff, there is a level where I'm trying to make people believe that it's real.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all of that structure, I don't necessarily want to do. You can go into the Milgram psychological experiment. You know, the thing where it's essentially they did an experiment in, I think it was in the 60s, where they had people administering increasing doses of electric shock. Mm-hmm. To the point of a lethal level.
Oh, yes.
And they were doing it because a guy in a white coat was telling them to keep doing it. And there is a similar thing where, you know, as a performer, we are in that position of power. And so that they turn off that critical function.
Yeah.
To the point where I once did a television show where I shot, I did the William Tell trick. I shot an apple off the top of somebody's head from 120 yards away. And there were 14 audience members there to witness it. And 12 of them said, yes, I will do that, mm-hmm. to be the apple person, to have the apple on their head. 12 of them, they'd never met me before. They'd never seen me shoot a crossbow before.
They didn't know
but
you.
Because I was a TV host, there was a camera crew, they assume that it's okay. And so but she genuinely, the girl that did it, genuinely believed that she was in danger. We actually had to cut out a clip, she said, when we interviewed her just before we did it. She said, I hope he makes the shot, but if he doesn't, I won't know anything about it. Now, isn't that weird?
And yet she would still willingly volunteer and do that.
She still willingly did it. Yeah. And she was terrified as well. It wasn't an act. She knew, she genuinely thought that she, her life was in danger, which she wasn't, but she didn't know. So yeah, it's a very interesting area of psychology, you know, that use of an audience member and how much they believe versus, you know, it's a trick versus it's real.
Now, maybe you've got another point right there then, Jonathan, from the standpoint of trust in the person who is administering the experiment. For an example, whenever I would do magic on the radio, for an example, the radio announcer has to describe that as if they are doing it for a blind person, right? but also people who are listening to that radio announcer are familiar and trusting that person, to be honest. Mm. They're not going to fool me, because if they say, wow, he just did this with my card, you know, and right. now it's or whatever, he's not just saying, hey, we just made an elephant appear, right. you know. They trust the guy, and it's been an ongoing thing. It takes a while before they gain that trust. Right. Likewise, like with in that case you were talking about, they would trust you because they'd seen you and trust you as a host, and you're not going to injure them. Mm. Likewise, I think if they have seen a magic show for a while, a guillotine, for an example, would not be a good opening trick because you haven't introduced your character. They right. don't know nor trust you yet. So I see your point that I think it takes a while to gain that audience trust.
Yeah, I think, and especially if you're doing it as comedy, you know, if
but they don't know it's comedy until they get up on stage.
No, that's true. But you know, at that point, there's magic is all about tension and release. You know, setup and punchline.
Yeah,
and so. I'm willing to watch your setup. I'm willing to watch your setup, but I might not be willing to experience the punchline. And so, mm-hmm. you know, you're basically coaxing them along the way. And the more you show competence, the more you're likely to get them to trust you.
Could you just real quickly recap those six things or three things, I think, that you said when you'd sent that letter to the producer, and then the three things you think they need? This was brilliant.
I really got into escapes because I didn't like it. And the problems that I had with it were that, you know, escape artists always escape. And that's a problem because you're creating a performance which is based on what's going to happen, you know. And if we get into the routine where we always know when escape artist is going to escape, we take away that area of what's going to happen, and so it becomes predictable. And if it's predictable, then what are we doing? You know, that's a problem. And then secondarily, the problem is that the jeopardy is always death, which seems to me to be inauthentic. Because again, you want it to feel real. You want it to feel genuinely dangerous. And I think that death is an unrealistic thing to risk.
Right.
So let's make it, you know, pain, humiliation, something. If we pare down the jeopardy, it becomes more believable, becomes more authentic. And then thirdly, the problem that I had was that they always escape from things that are, or situations that are, unrelatable, you know, big spikes or whatever it might be. Even the humble straitjacket has now become something that an audience will never experience in their lives, other than seeing a magician take it off.
That's a good point.
So it's the opposite of what it's supposed to be, and so I think we can afford to be a bit more creative.
Yeah, love that. Very good points. Well, Jonathan, thanks very much. And you've been doing a bunch of stuff, and so you're a method. What is it, madness?
So my book is called The Methods to My Madness, which is basically, because I'm now retired, I wrote a book which is literally everything that I ever created over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're not fully retired. You're directing, producing?
I am directing and producing shows. So I directed Jamie Allen's show in the West End last year. And that's going into Broadway or just off Broadway later in the year, which is very exciting.
Isn't he the E-magician?
The I-magician.
Yeah, sorry, I got the wrong vowel.
Yeah. The wrong drug.
That's right. Jonathan, so good to see you. And I'm glad you're doing so well. You're doing great. We'll talk to you later.
Good to talk to you.
So that was Jonathan Goodwin. This is Scotty out. So we are getting ready to go to a dinner, but before we leave, I just happen to run into a friend, and you've heard her before here on the podcast, Hannah Amar. Hey there, Hannah. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You're keeping warm, I guess.
I am. My all wool coat.
We are kind of in the foyer right now between the warmth and the cold.
Yeah.
And so, we're going to have to bust out someplace here soon and get to a restaurant where it's a little bit warmer. Are you enjoying the convention so far? I mean, you're seeing it from a different perspective with Michael, I guess.
I am, yeah. But it's just fun to, you know, it always feels like a family reunion to me to go to a magic convention. And this is so big that I'm just having a good time meeting everybody and seeing old friends, and there's things to do all day long, and the after stuff at the Ruskin and all of that just makes it a lot of fun.
When was the last time Michael was here? Do you remember?
Yeah,
he was here like 5 years ago, but I was not. I did come to the Fizz and Black Fool maybe whenever that was, 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, about 7 years ago.
Yeah, so that was my last time.
Okay, Now, did you come earlier to go see some stuff, and are you planning on staying later?
I booked my ticket 48 hours before I came. It was a real last minute decision to go. I kept wavering and just thought, well, let me go check the prices on the airfare. If it's not too bad, I'll go. And it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
So I came, and it was Valentine's Day yesterday. Right. So I wanted to go to this local manor house. It's only eight miles from here. I just thought that might be a neat thing to do for Valentine's Day because they have a tea. They have a big tea there.
Yeah.
But
like a high tea?
Like a high tea.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was sold out, so we didn't go do that. But anyway, that was my thought.
Well, yeah, it's bad timing. I'm sure that everybody would want, you know, I mean, Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Probably go another time of the, week.
But it's just fun to be here. And some of the magicians were performing Valentine tricks for us last night. So
how nice
was
that?
Yeah. So we have some souvenirs.
So does Michael have a booth here then, too? I know he's lecturing and.
No, just the lectures. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
so you're just working behind the lecture booth.
Just for that 1 hour, and then that's it for me. So it's nice. I mostly get to enjoy myself.
You really do, as opposed to, like you said, some other conventions where you might be really.
If we had a dealer, something like that, it would be a lot of work. But this is real pleasurable. Yeah.
Have you been here before and gone over to Liverpool to see the Beatles thing?
Michael's done lecture tours of the UK, and I've been on those. We did go to Liverpool on one of those.
We just did that before last week. It was great.
Yeah, it's just you can't believe you're, this is really where it was.
Yeah, it started here at the Cavern Club and all that. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So what have you seen here so far? I mean, as far as the gala last night? Or any of the rest
we
of the
saw
shows,
the gala show last night. It seems surprising for it to end after three performers. You're so used to magic conventions where the shows are at least a couple of hours and everything. But I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I saw some of David Stone's lecture, and you know that was entertaining and fun. You know, I haven't been able to go to too many things. I think that's the only two things I've gone to. The rest has been the dealers.
Right.
And going with Michael, you know, you only go a couple feet and then you stop. You go a couple. So it ends up taking hours to get
like Michael
in there.
Moore. Okay.
Lots of pictures and autograph signing. And
so just before we got on the microphone, you were saying there was a story that you wanted to tell when we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. When I was last saw you, after we had that interview, I thought, I should have told the story about the little kid at Tannen's because we were at Tannen's Jubilee 1 year, and they have all the young children, you know, Bob Elliott's kids that were there studying magic. And after Michael's lecture, this little boy was standing there for a long time, just staring at me. And I leaned over, I said, "Hi." He goes, "Hi, are you married to Michael?"
Well,
and I said, "Yes, I am." He goes, "Wow. Lucky you." Think of all the tricks you could learn.
Of course, I told her if one guy says it, 100 are thinking it. So,
so Michael loves that story. Lucky you.
Lucky you. That's right. Well, you made his head even bigger, I think, whenever you shared that story then with him.
Yeah, I told.
So did you have a good time then today, Michael?
It was great. It was great. Yeah, it was a new collection of stuff. So I really wasn't sure how long it was going to take.
Was this part of the stuff you were doing on the Florida tour?
No. And because I want to do that when I come to the UK in May. Mm. So I told him it would be a different lecture.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be different from the last time I was here. So it was really kind of an eclectic mix of stuff.
Yeah.
And I really wasn't sure if it was going to fit. And it fit just right, you know.
Was it a standing room only audience? I mean, you were right after David Stone, and weren't you
yeah,
in the same
room? Yeah, it's a full room.
Yeah.
It was absolutely full. That's a big room.
That's like 800
people. 850
people,
yeah. That's
what's
really
the biggest group you think you've ever lectured for?
I think here at Blackpool before they started breaking them up.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first time I lectured here was 1990 or 91. And
it was in the ballroom.
It was in the ballroom, and we arrived late, so I had to go straight backstage and walk out not knowing what the audience was.
Yes.
And walked out, and it may have been 2,500 people. Three times, you know, and I'm doing rubber band tricks and things at quarters. And I, you know, but then I looked behind me and there was this giant screen.
Yeah.
You know, so it was everything
okay,
was
they could
fine.
See.
Yeah.
But that was the you know, I never dreamed that you could do a magic lecture for, you know,
back in those days,
almost 3,000 people.
Those events.
Yeah.
They didn't use it for the dealer's room. It was all like just chairs and
Well,
I think at the Opera House in there last year, Matt King had given a lecture.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much a full house in there.
I think that place seats 4,000.
4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And afterwards, he was signing like posters and autographs out here for 4.5 hours.
I bet that's what it would take. Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. I've never seen it.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do that many appearances.
No, he doesn't.
Anyway, so, I mean, they took their, they had their opportunity. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you go because we got to go have dinner then as well. Good to see you, Hannah.
Great Michael, to see you, Scott.
Well, Scott.
It's the Magic Word Podcast. That was Michael and Hannah Lamar. Scotty out. We are getting ready for the evening show. I just saw Jack Rhodes, which was, I think, one of the most amazing and funny shows. I think the best show I've seen here so far at Blackpool. It was really great and got a standing ovation. And it's one of those shows, again, that is going on opposite of the main show, which is called One in the Gala, I'm about to see. And then later tonight, we'll see Terry Fader, who, of course, many of you know, was the winner of America's Got Talent, had a show there in Las Vegas. But right now, I'm here with another guy who's not performing this year, but just hanging out, Guy Bavley. Hey there, Guy.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
So you come, you said, every year, whether you perform
or not. I try.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I performed it like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that was then like a day and a half convention.
Yeah.
At that time.
Much
they
smaller.
Make you work like you've been in like a week fizzing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this place and I come as much as I can. This is like a hanging place for all my friends, you know, from Israel, from Canada, from this, from that, from Ireland, you know.
Sure.
So they all get together and we have groups. So it's just a wonderful convention and, you know, it's like very friendly. I actually was here, two, three years ago, I performed with Bakore, with Chaim Goldenberg and Amir Lustig. They booked us here as a trio.
Oh, okay.
So we did lectures and stuff. But it doesn't matter. Just come in.
So it's just kind of, again, a vacation for you because you get to hang out with friends.
Yeah, I actually canceled. I closed two shows to be
come
here. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I have my regular thing every weekend. So I had to close it
right
in order to be here.
Right.
Worth it.
And where did you travel from? Where are you living?
In Fort Lauderdale.
In Fort Lauderdale. It was Florida. I couldn't remember which city. So Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
So if people want to see you on the weekends, where can they go in Fort Lauderdale to see the show? Is it?
In Las Olas Boulevard, at the Riverside Hotel.
Okay. And they can get tickets? Where?
Oh, yeah. My website. Just Google masterofthemind.com/FLL.
Okay, well, there you go. And is there something that you've seen here already?
It's like a promo for my show?
Yes, it is. That's what I want you to do is plug it. So that way people are listening. Go see the show. Yeah. And say all they right. saw you or they heard you here.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Pleasure.
Did you buy anything in the dealers so far? Do you see anything that really kind of excited you?
You know, I didn't have to. I looked a lot. I bought little bits and pieces here and there. But tomorrow is kind of my day to go and see. I just want something to slap me in the face.
Yeah.
So I can't lift myself off the ground. John. Hey, John. What's happening?
John Armstrong walking by. Hey, John. Good to see you, my brother.
Hi, podcast visitors.
That's right.
Okay.
It's
all right.
So, but you're just looking for something. I see it more and more things at dealers that are the electronic types of stuff. You still are kind of the old school and not using so much of electronics.
Well, I will use whatever it is that can deliver the effect in the best way.
I love that. You're exactly right.
Yeah, you know, so I if I can be as bulletproof as possible, I will. But if I don't have any other way or this will make it better in a way that I believe that it's worth it, then...
Yeah.
What the freak?
Yeah. I agree.
You know, but you need to know what you're doing, who's making it, how to use it, what to do in plan A, B, C, and D, you know, so...
You gotta have backups and everything then, too.
Of course.
One last thing, and I'll let you go. What about what you've seen so far as shows, lectures, anything that stands out that's like... I mean, I know since you've been coming for so many years, but what about
everything,
this year?
Listen, everything I've seen is wonderful. Of course, you know, you go to a lecture and one is amazing, but, you know, I'm not doing this kind of trick, so it's not for me. Let's go to the other one.
Yeah.
I think the galas here is amazing. I want to especially say thank you and maybe to recognize the people that organized this convention.
Yeah.
Because unlike many other conventions, there is something in the air here. There's something in the gala, in the production values they give you. It's not just a stage in a ballroom. Here, the galas are magnificent, even Broadway.
They are top-notch, I have to agree. They got great light, great sound.
Everything.
The stage crew, I mean, they really put you in a perfect light. No pun intended.
100%. And the artists who performs it, people like everybody else, myself, you, at times, they are secondary. The production and the planning here is humongous and amazing. And I've loved everybody. Even the contest today was amazing.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. Is that what you just saw was the contest?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm getting ready to go and see that myself.
Oh, you'll see. Okay, sorry. Shouldn't say that.
I'm about to find out. Rewind.
Wait a minute. All right.
I'm going to let you go, man. Guy. Good seeing you.
Thank you so much.
For the Magic Word Podcast. That was Guy Baveley, my buddy.
Thank you.
Scotty out.